I want to say a few words to you, and you'll notice in the worship bulletin it says reflection. That just means a shorter version of a sermon. There's some things I want to invite us to remember and to ponder and to ask questions about indeed. You would notice this Christmas time has all its familiar specials. No doubt some of you, I think it's about 19 years old now, have seen once or twice or maybe more than that if you're like me, that movie called Home Alone. Now, I haven't seen it for a little while, but my children delight in seeing that movie with me, not so much because of the movie, but because of the way I laugh. It makes me laugh. No matter how many times I see it, I still laugh like a little kid. But you wonder, the premise is an interesting one. Those of you who may not know it, it's the family who's getting ready to go to Paris on holiday. And it's a group, it's not only one particular family, but there are several families. I think there are about 12 children. They're all in the house. They've set their appointment. They've arranged for the shuttle to come. And they oversleep. There's a power outage at night. They don't wake up. And they're scrambling at the last minute to make it to the airport in time. And they ask the oldest child to count the children and get all their bags. And off they go. It's not till they're halfway across the Atlantic that they realize they're missing a child who had misbehaved and was sent up to the attic, and they just forgot all about him. So he is home alone. Little Kevin has to fend for himself. You may wonder when you hear that last reading that Rob read about how could Mary and Joseph and the entourage of the family actually forget their son. You would think that that would be irresponsible. People, those of us who are parents, know that how frantic you can become if you feel or even have a suspicion your child is missing. What is happening indeed? Let me try to create a little bit of an understanding of what would have been taking place. As was the tradition, we're told, Jesus and his family have gone up to Jerusalem from Nazareth. It's about a 240-kilometer walk that they would be going on, several days. And they would go as a family, as a village, all those observant Jews. This was one of the festivals that they would go and make homage with, the Passover. And what happened often in these caravans, as it were, the women and children would go first, and the men would bring up the rear. That was generally how they would set out. And so after the Passover celebrations, as they're making their way home, it would have been easy for Mary to assume that perhaps Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph to assume that he was with the women and the children at the front. How we know that is a hint that is provided in this particular text, and that is that Jesus is age what? 12. That's a significant age, very significant in terms of Jewish life, but also in human maturation. According to the Jewish law, parents are to bring their male children before they turn 13 in order that they may become a son of the commandment. Some of you are more familiar with the term in Hebrew, undergo bar mitzvah. And so this is a liminal or transitional time for Jesus. He has come up with them to the temple to enter into the practices. But what we know is that perhaps this is the occasion when he has come to see himself as transitioning to manhood, as it were. And we get some hints in terms of what happens in the temple. They come back after realizing after a day's journey that they haven't found him, and they turn back and they come and they look all over, we're told, and the last place they're looking is in the temple. And there they find him sitting with the teachers of the law, debating scriptures, and they are amazed at his answers and so forth. One of the things that I think is crucial for us to ask ourselves, for this is not just a story to read and to be entertained by and to wonder about. It is a story for us to enter into and to see how the drama of God's work through Jesus, through the teachers of the law, through his parents, speak to us. And we ask ourselves, Jesus says something very telling that we would do well to harbor in our own hearts and in our own faith. Jesus says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" It is that must that makes all the difference. For as Jesus begins to understand his own identity and his mission and his wisdom and his calling, he recognizes what is paramount, what most matters. And you and I, even in this Christmas celebration and in our lives, we know that there is a part of us that longs to talk about and wrestle with the things that really matter. We spend far too much time spending trivial conversations and petty things that really don't amount to much. We worry about all sorts of things. Some of you may be familiar with the Johns Hopkins study that shows that 92% of the things we worry about never come to pass. So this is an invitation, like Jesus, for us to ask ourselves, what is the Father's business? What must we be about? What are the priorities of our life and our faith? I think there is a very interesting invitation offered to us today by Annecy's baptism. We are asked again and again to make a promise about raising this child. In so doing, we are in a sense like Mary and Joseph and the village and the community of Nazareth that brought their children up for festival. As I mentioned in the baptism, Jesus was brought to, and you heard in one of the readings, was brought to the temple. He was brought for circumcision. He was brought for presentation as the eldest male in the Jewish family. Jesus was of an age, no doubt 8 days old, that he had no choice over this. This is something his family undertook for him. Whether he wanted to or not, he was not consulted. But he, we are told, that as was his custom, this family made pilgrimage probably 3 times a year for the high holidays to Jerusalem, that long, arduous journey, and no doubt at home also practiced mitzvot. In other words, practiced the raising of their children in the faith. So that is what we have been gifted with again, Jenny and Josh, with this opportunity to remind ourselves, those who of us have taken promises on behalf of congregation, even if they're not our children or our own, that when we make these vows, we are saying that we will raise these children in the faith. We will bring them to come to know God and understand how they, like we, must be about the Father's business. And what is this Father's business? The readings that we have heard hint at some of the things that God is about. At the very beginning, we, in the context of creation, God created the world good and placed humans with all of their capacity to choose good or evil, to choose for or against God in the midst of that good creation, just as we are right now, still able to choose for God or against God. God, I don't want anything to do with you, or God, help me to follow you more faithfully. We still have that choice. Our early parents did. God's business is about learning how that invitation to choose makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. We're told that we see such an indication in the life of Abraham. Abraham chose to trust God, even against all of the parental instincts that he would have had. Asked to sacrifice his son, asked to do this dastardly thing, and somehow finding the faith to believe that God would make it all right. So there's an invitation as we discern what is God's business to trust God. Not only do we have the choice, but we are then invited how to shape and direct that choice to trust God. We're told also that there are hints in the prophetic literature. Isaiah said that there is something coming, someone coming. So God's business is about being slightly hidden so that we have to seek to find out how God is at work in the world. And we're told also, and we see in Jesus' life, that God's business is about what Jesus came to declare. Repent and believe in the kingdom of God, the realm of God. Turn our hearts and our lives over to the direction of God. And not only to the direction of God, so we're focusing only on God, as it were, but that commandment to love God and love neighbor turns us out into the world also to share the good news and to wrestle with those forces that circumscribe the lives of people so that they may find all that they need in food, in love, in shelter, in care, in justice. You and I, like Jesus, must be about our Father's business. There's another interesting little tidbit, I think, in the reading. That is an invitation for us to ask as a church community, how is it that we host, how do we host and welcome and encourage the voice of children? How do we ask whether or not the way in which our lives as a community of faith is designed that children and youth are welcomed with their questions, with their doubts, with all of the kinds of yearnings that they have. For look at what happened when Jesus sat with the teachers of the law in debate. They were amazed at what he said. They were amazed at what his answers and his responses and his questions were. Are we as a community of faith open to being amazed by the questions of our youth and children? Do we cultivate a sense of at-homeness here so that they do not feel that anything that they wonder about is out of bounds in this context of faith? For the story invites us also to be about God's business, which is also making sure that our communities of faith are places of exploration and formation in the faith and wrestling with doubts and the questions that they contend with at school and in homes and in their communities on sports teams, whatever. That this is the place where those can be brought and welcomed and nurtured and directed, and that we may be changed by them as well. The last thing I want to mention is resisting trying to fill in what the Bible does not declare. And that is, we wonder, don't you like I wonder, what was Jesus up to all those years? Don't you wonder that? There's no record of it. This is the sole record we have between the time of his birth and when he appears publicly at baptism. 12 years old. What did he do at 9? Did Mary have to give him a time out when he was misbehaving? I don't know. Don't you wonder what was he like as a teenager? Some people couldn't resist this kind of inquiry, and even in the early years, and we have various tales, as it were, infancy narratives in Matthew, the infancy narratives of the Gospel of Thomas, that make up all kinds of things, including Jesus when he was young in the playground. There's a story about one of his playmates, a belligerent playmate, and so Jesus curses him and makes him die, and then brings him back to life, or takes clay pots and makes them into pigeons. There's the Arabic childhood narratives about Jesus, where his very diaper could heal people. I mean, people just can't resist wondering what those years were like, and they make up all sorts of things. There's one, the more humorous one, called the Gospel According to Biff, Christ's childhood friend and pal. You need a tongue-in-cheek to read that one, but it is kind of humorous. But the point is that the Bible is silent about those years. What it tries to affirm is that Jesus lived fully into his humanity. Into his humanity. He understood himself, certainly, and came to understand as he went along, greater as God's beloved. But also he was human, and that's what we need to remember and to always hold close. We're told, and here's the shift that takes place, where even his family needs now to recognize that he is leading. Even though it says, and he went with them and he obeyed them, notice the difference that the text begins and it says that the family went up to the temple. And by the end, it is Jesus who goes, in terms of the sentence structure in Greek, Jesus goes and his family accompanies him. Jesus now shifts as he becomes a son of the commandment, as he shifts into taking fully his vocation as God's child, as the prophet, priest, and king, begins now to lead even his own family, with whom he will have some divisive words later on in Luke we read. And so, again, the invitation is for each of us not to try to pin Jesus into a box, but recognize that we, too, are invited to be startled and surprised and to be led by this one who has found us, who has come looking for us, and who is inviting us to follow through the ups and the downs. Why? Why is this so important in this Christmas season? Because you and I, like Jesus, must be about our Father's business. Amen.